Today, is it hard hat time as the Santa rally turns decidedly frosty? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, one of those posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia and cover commodities and crypto along the way. Recently, we saw markets charging higher. And in fact, many markets touched all-time highs again on the expectation of more rate cuts. But that all changed this week, following another pivot from the Fed and more strong economic readings that gave pause for thought. While the US Central Bank on Wednesday did cut its benchmark overnight interest rate by 25 basis points to 4.25 to 4.5%, it projected only two rate reductions in 2025, citing the economy's continued resilience and still elevated inflation. And we also briefly had the risk of a US government shutdown to contend with. Well, that was averted late in the day. The messy process of averting a US government shutdown offered investors a glimpse into the challenges the incoming Trump administration will face in implementing its agenda, adding an additional market concern for the coming year. At the very least, Trump is likely to lead with bold threats and leverage them to push negotiations in his favor. In fact, Republican hardliners, who normally are ardent Trump supporters, were resisting his push to raise the US debt ceiling, sticking to the belief that government spending needs to be pruned and defying his warnings of revenge. Granted, Trump isn't president yet, but he will interject ideas at the last minute, and there's no guarantee every member of the Republican Party in Congress is going to go along with his ideas, said Brian Jacobson, the chief economist at Annex Wealth. That is a formula for gridlock, uncertainty and volatility. And we also, by the way, had the triple witching, where options contracts all expired, which added to the complexity. Also, inflation in the US, as measured by the change in the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, edged higher to 2.4% on a yearly basis in November from 2.3% in October, according to the US Bureau of Economic Analysis. The core PCE price index, which excludes volatile food and energy prices, rose 2.8% in the same period. That matched October's reading, but arrived below the market's expectation of 2.9%. The core PCE price index rose 0.1% on a monthly basis. So all up, although Friday saw US markets turning more positive again across the week, drops were widespread, with the MSCI Global Index down 2.53%, although still up 16.13% year to date, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 1.18%, but still down 2.25% for the week. That's actually its longest losing streak since October 1974. And the S&P 500 Index gained 1.9% on Friday, but was down 1.99% across the week. And the NASDAQ Composite climbed 1.07%, having fallen 1.78% across the 5 days. The best performers of the session on the Dow Jones was Nvidia, which rose 3.16%, though that's still more than 5% lower across the month, while Goldman Sachs was up 2.19%, but still down 6.09% over the past month. The worst performers on the session were Merck & Co., which fell 1.38%, Walmart, which declined 1.24%, and Procter & Gamble, which was down 0.67%. Tesla was down 3.46%, but is still up 90% over the past month, while Meta Platforms, which was down 1.73% and was down 5.66% over the past week. The Volatility Index was down 23.79% to 1836, having spiked as uncertainty rose. Now, ahead, analysts are split between those who think the recent falls were necessary adjustments before more rises next year, and those who wonder if the two high market valuations are finally coming home to roost. Higher bond yields and a stronger dollar will play into this too. The Russell 2000 small caps was already giving back some ground, and that continued this past week. Actually, it was down 4.78%, despite a small rise on Friday. The small cap index tested its 2021 highs a couple of weeks back, where a bearish weekly pattern occurred, and the small caps are still trading within a four-year trading range, which looks unloved for now. But investors, I think, should be watching what happens here with the small caps, as it will likely send a message about risk on or risk off. Given the Federal Reserve cut their rate estimates in half next year and pushed out expectations of when inflation will return to target, bonds were higher, with the 2-year at 4.319 and the 10-year at 4.523. The yield curve steepening has been driven by a reticence among investors to own longer-dated treasuries, given sticky inflation and a resilient economy after the Fed has cut policy rates by a full 1 percentage point in recent months. JP Morgan Asset Management's Chief Investment Officer for Global Fixed Income, Currencies and Commodities sees a chance that yields trade in the narrowest range in 8 years, while the Federal Reserve does little to alter its policy rate next year. US mortgage rates were also higher this past week on the back of higher bond yields, as the yield on the US 10-year Treasury notched a fresh 6.5-month high on Thursday. The average rate on the popular 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose to 6.72%, as mortgage rates tracked the 10-year Treasury note. While the National Association of Realtors in the US reported a surge in sales of existing homes in November, those sales likely reflected contracts that were signed in September, when mortgage rates were falling before and shortly after the Federal Reserve embarked on its policy easing cycle. So all of this action in turn pushed the US dollar higher across the week, although it stood slightly on Friday, to 107.82, still putting pressure on exchange rates with other countries. The euro-US dollar was up 0.61% to 1.0430, while the US dollar-Japanese yen fell 0.64% to 156.41. Gold futures for February delivery was up 1.23% to $2,645 a troy ounce, and elsewhere in commodities, crude oil for delivery in January fell 1.57% to $69.46 a barrel, while the February Brent oil contract rose just a little to $72.98 a barrel. Over in Canada, in Toronto, the composite index there added 0.76% and the VIX was down 6.27% to 1166. Europe's Stoxx 600 index clocked its second largest weekly fall on Friday, down 2%, its worst week since early September, with the healthcare sector leading losses after Danish firm Novo Nordisk plunged 20.8% after the drug maker revealed disappointing results in a late-stage trial for his experimental next-generation obesity drug that wiped as much as $125 billion off its market value. The broader healthcare sector dropped 4%, while the Danish benchmark tumbled 13.2%. That's the weakest close since August 2023. Talk about concentration risk. While most Stoxx 600 subsectors fell, real estate was a rare bright spot with a 1.4% advance. The Stoxx 600 is up nearly 6% so far this year, but compare that with a 25% surge in the US benchmark S&P 500. Further dampening sentiment, US President-elect Donald Trump said that the EU must purchase US oil and gas to make up for its tremendous deficit with the world's largest economy, or face tariffs. The European Commission said it was ready to discuss with Trump how to strengthen what it described as an already strong relationship, including in the energy sector. Investors had already begun pricing in the potential risk, but the president-elect's comments today will have focused minds, said Danny Hewson, head of financial analysis at AJ Bell. Britain's FTSE 100 posted a relatively smaller decline on Friday, down 0.3%, but dropped to a four-week low. Data showed that British retail sales rose by a weaker than expected 0.2% in November instead of the 0.5% growth expected, which added to signs of slowing momentum in the economy. The Bank of England has stepped aside from its rate cut peers in the US and Europe, leaving its benchmark interest rates unchanged at its pre-Christmas meeting. Germany's DAX fell 0.4%, France's CAC 40 dropped 0.07%, and economic and political uncertainty haunts both countries, which together comprise 41% of the current EU. The Eurozone economy is currently struggling for growth, with the German economy, the region's largest, particularly hard hit. A trade war at this point would be economically taxing. Data released earlier on Friday showed that German producer prices rose unexpectedly in November, increasing by 0.1% on the year after having been expected to fall by 0.3%. Most Asian stocks moved in a flat to low range on Friday and were nursing steep losses across the week as the prospect of a slower fall in US interest rates eroded risk appetite. Japanese markets were actually an exception, rising slightly even as stronger than expected consumer inflation data highlighted the potential for more interest rate hikes by the Bank of Japan. But comments from the Bank of Japan on Thursday suggested that rates will likely rise later rather than sooner. Japan's Nikkei 225 and TOPIX indices both rose around 0.2%, faring better than their regional peers, but both indices fell by more than 1% across the week. Japanese consumer price index inflation reads were higher than expected for November, with core inflation rising further above the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target amid strong private spending. The reading furthered the case for more rate hikes by the Bank of Japan, and the central bank kept rates steady on Thursday, citing caution over Japan's economic outlook, as well as what US policies would entail for the global economy. The governor reiterated the bank's plans to raise interest rates further, but provided no specific guidance on timelines for such a hike. His comments on watching the spring wage negotiations for more insights on wage growth suggested that the hike may come later in 2025, a scenario that bodes well for Japanese stocks in the near term. The Bank of Japan's policy statement did not introduce any significant changes, by the way. The bank's assessment of the current economic conditions, outlook, and risk factors remained largely the same as those detailed in the October outlook report. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices clocked mild gains on Friday and were the best performers in Asia across the week, clocking smaller losses than their regional peers. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index rose 0.1%, but was still down 1% across the week. Losses in Chinese markets were curtailed by growing confidence that Beijing will still ramp up fiscal spending in 2025 to boost economic growth amid persistent signs of weakness in Asia's biggest economy. People's Bank of China left its benchmark loan prime rate unchanged on Friday, with the lender having limited headroom to cut rates further into record low territory. A weak yuan has limited the PBOC's ability to cut rates further, while monetary easing measures have so far provided just limited support to the Chinese economy. Beijing is now expected to ramp up fiscal spending in 2025 to support growth, with a recent report from Reuters suggesting that the country will increase its deficit to 4% of its gross domestic product. South Korea's KOSPI slid 1.3% and was the worst performer in Asia this week, with a 3.5% decline. Heightened political uncertainty in the country kept investors averse towards local markets, while steep losses in local chip makers also weighed. India's Nifty 50 fell 1.35%. The VIX in India, which measures the implied volatility of the Nifty 50 options, was up 3.88% to 15.07. The Australian share market closed the week at a three-month low, tracking the global sell-off in equities that accelerated later in the week. The ASX slid 1.2% on Friday to 8,067. That's the lowest level since September. The index was down 2.8% this week on a broad sell-off, delaying an anticipated Santa rally. The index closed with only three sectors, energy, utilities and technology, in the green, while consumer discretionary stocks and financials led losses. Australia's big banks all lost ground. Commonwealth Bank, the most expensive bank in the world in PE terms, closed at $150.26, down 3.7%. Wesfarmers also dragged the index lower, falling 5% to $69.56 as traders took profits following its $770 million sale of subsidy Coregas. E-commerce platform SiteMinder also sold off, tracking losses on the NASDAQ. The stock fell 5% to $6.07. Dollar retreated this week to 62.26 US cents, having shaved off 2.1% in the past five sessions. That's the worst weekly decline in a year. It was last at 62.51, while at 49.73 UK pence, that's the lowest since COVID. Strength in the US currency also hurt Bitcoin and gold, which in turn hurt Australia's gold miners. Bellevue Gold was the indices' biggest detractor on Friday afternoon, down 5.6% to $1.10. There was a wave of profit-taking that hit the biotech Mesoblast on Friday after US regulators gave a green light for a first-of-its-kind cell therapy developed by the company. Shares fell 20.6% to $2.42 on Friday afternoon. And Integral Diagnostics shares rose 3.5% to $3 after the company completed a merger with Capital Health, creating a $1 billion diagnostics conglomerate. Ventia rose 3.8% to $3.58 after it announced a five-year deal with Telstra. And De Grey Mining rose 2.8% to $1.74 as traders reacted to news that the Gold Explorers Hemi Gold project could lead to underground production. ASX noted its regulators, the Reserve Bank and the Australian Securities and Investment Commission, about an issue that caused a delay in settlement processes on Friday afternoon. Failures in the ASX's CHESS batch processing system meant that payments for trades made for trade on Wednesday and the transfer of equity ownership title were not going through on Friday as planned. ASX believes only CHESS settlements are affected and the system was still taking trades and registering them. ASX was last at 64.30. Bitcoin experienced a sharp decline, falling to $94,000 from its peak of well over the $100,000 this week as the market struggles with a change in momentum. A retracement is looming on the horizon. Michael Saylor, the chairman of MicroStrategy, dropped his usual post on X and issued a forward statement, "Wear a hard hat." The Bitcoin enthusiast attached an image of himself in an orange hard hat inscribed with Bitcoin and a vest. Behind him are screens of market activity. The traders stare at what might be an ongoing gloomy market run. Despite the tense atmosphere, Saylor maintains that investors must wear a hard hat as the market suffers what could be a momentary crash. Saylor, although, continues to stick to his massive accumulation strategy on Bitcoin regardless of price, and the Bitcoin was last at 98,503. The price of Ethereum has fallen precipitously from its recent peak of over 4,000 US to 3,197. The current state of affairs presents a difficult scenario for the second largest cryptocurrency, making it difficult for it to regain the $4,000 mark and recover the more than 30% of value it's lost. It was last at 3,491. And actually, Saylor's advice could well be true for other market participants too, as given the high quantum of uncertainty in the weeks ahead, wearing a hard hat makes sense, as market volumes will decline over the holiday period and as many stocks are in overvalued territory. It could be a very volatile and a very frosty period for investors. So, wear a hard hat. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.